Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Outcomes Rocket. So glad you tuned in to another episode because today I have the privilege of hosting Marty Elisko. He is the co-founder and CEO of Aug Intel. It's a SaaS company that improves the ability of health and human services professionals to deliver care. Aug Intel builds natural language processing software used by caseworkers, therapists, and clinicians to identify key information buried in text in case management and medical record systems. We all know it's a huge problem. This gives them a deeper understanding of the at-risk individuals and families they care for. And I'm excited to have them here to chat about it, what they're doing, how they're doing it, and how it's making a difference. Marty, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me today.
Of course. Now, look, always curious on the founder stories. What is it that got you into healthcare?
Well, I come into healthcare from, I think, a pretty different avenue from the social services and technology arenas. I started my career in telecommunications and about 15 years ago had an interest in bringing technology to the child welfare and social services space. And ever since then have built different businesses in this space. But about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, we realized that there's a huge need for identifying language buried in text, especially in the child welfare and social services space. So we built a company that did that to help child welfare and social services organizations understand the people they care better. But it turns out the same information that we're identifying in social services has a direct impact in the more traditional healthcare space as well, especially in the area of social determinants of health. In the child welfare and social services spaces, social determinants are a key cause of the health of individuals, right? And it turns out in the entire population, it is as well. So I came at healthcare from really understanding the world of social services and bringing some of the sort of solutions to problems in that space into healthcare. The healthcare world has known about this, but really bringing that lens of social care and well-being to the physical health arena is really how I arrived at healthcare.
Super cool. Yeah. And they're inextricably connected, as you mentioned, with so many of these social determinants affecting people's lives and their health. The idea that zip codes, right, are more determinant than the DNA code. So tell us more about Aug Intel. How are you guys adding value to the ecosystem with the technology, the services you provide?
So really importantly, like I said before, everybody recognizes social determinants of health are a huge cause of a person's health. The problem is the tools today don't really have the specificity needed to identify what social determinants affect specific individuals. So before you mentioned zip codes, and there are a lot of platforms out there that can use publicly available information to infer what problems a person has based on where they live or certain characteristics and demographics. But what we do is something much more specific. What we do is look into the patient's data, especially the narrative data, for language that describes those social determinants, because we believe that in that language are the sort of truths about what affect that individual. The social determinants we found are predominantly described in that narrative, in that qualitative unstructured data, not in the quantitative data and not in publicly available information. So what we do is use natural language processing to mine narrative data for content that describes social determinants, and then present that information to clinicians in a wide variety of ways so that they can act on it. And I'd like to literally list the social determinants that we look for, which is really the sort of global world, because a lot of times it'll be EMR platforms that pick out three or four of them, but you got to look at all of them to understand what's affecting the patient. And so we have food insecurity, housing instability, homelessness, inadequate housing, not just homelessness, transportation insecurity, not being able to get to a doctor's appointment, financial insecurity, material hardship, right? Educational attainment, veteran status, stress, social connections, intimate partner violence, most on elder abuse, health literacy, whether or not you're covered by health insurance, medical cost burdens, and even digital literacy, right? With EMRs today, the EMR really expects the patient to be able to navigate their own way through a healthcare system. And if you have a low degree of digital literacy, that's very difficult. So what we do is mine notes for every single one of those so that the clinician can, one, there's so many different use cases for this data, which I guess we can get into, but I'll leave it at that, which is that's what we're doing, right? And manifesting this information that really has been a blind spot to clinicians, therapists, care coordinators forever.
Man, thank you for giving us that very clear value prop you guys give. Now, you're working with, I imagine, providers and provider organizations, right? Mm-hmm. Mainly?
Behavioral health organizations, starting to work with value-based care providers. And of course, like I said, we work with many social services and child welfare organizations at the government level, state, okay, local, as well as nonprofits.
Cool. So a lot of FQHCs in there as well that you're helping?
Yes, we can talk a bit more about FQHCs. We do believe that we will benefit those types of organizations, but we really haven't been able to crack that code yet.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. All good, man. No, thank you for that. Let's talk use cases and sort of ways that you guys are adding value.
Yeah. So I'll focus primarily on the behavioral health and value-based care space, because that's where it's tangible. So if we're looking at value-based care, everybody knows that the way to optimize outcomes is to address the social determinants and social well-being so that they don't manifest into chronic health conditions, right? So what we do is give the value-based care organization, or really any provider as well, the ability to identify the specific social determinants that are affecting that individual so that they can refer that patient to the right community-based service to address that problem. So essentially, we are the tool that helps to prescribe social care to that individual so that the value-based care organization can really optimize their health at a lower cost, right? Community-based services are, of course, less costly than, and frankly, more effective earlier on in a patient's care than getting to the ED or dealing with chronic issues. So that's the first piece, just identifying what to do. The second piece is very much around risk stratification, right? Value-based care organizations need to prioritize which patients they need to focus on, right? Problem is, the tools today to help risk stratify are really only based on that quantitative data. And I've heard this over and over again. We have an organization where, you know, I'm exaggerating, but like 20% of our population has the highest risk score, but we just don't have the resources to support that. And the reason is they don't have visibility to the granular conditions around social determinants that would help them to better risk stratify and identify the sickest patients or the patients in most need of help. So what we do is give them the information to help them create a much more robust risk model so that they can stratify patients into the right tiers of care, into the right categories of care that help them optimize what's delivered to that patient. Interestingly enough, from a revenue perspective, right, we're starting to see with, when I listed all the social determinants before, there's Z codes, right? There are actual ICD and SNOMED codes that are focused on social determinants. And if an organization can code for those, right, they are eligible for higher reimbursement rates. And because, right, they're showing the true health of that individual and, of course, the true health of the population. So enabling organizations to better communicate the health of an individual by incorporating social and mental issues into the patient record, it helps them from a financial perspective as well.
Totally. Yeah. Risk stratification, revenue possibilities, mm-hmm, by being able to really get a hold of what the problems are, using the right codes for them. You guys are helping in a lot of ways. And so as you've approached this problem set in healthcare, what's been one of the biggest challenges you've dealt with?
Yeah, a few things. We're an AI company, right? So I'll start with the technology, then I'll start with part two around the practice side of it. From a technology perspective, the first problem we had was, is the language model accurate enough, right? And really what it takes is using the organization's own data to train the model, to make it smart enough to understand how that organization does business. So we mitigated that risk by when we onboard the organization, we train the model to their data. And that is shown to give them the regionally specific, the community specific data that they need to have a model detect what they're looking for. A social determinant in one community could be described completely differently than a social determinant in another community. So training on their data is what addressed that problem. And again, we're an AI solution. So there's just the generalized mistrust of AI, especially generative coming out, right? We've been doing this for a long time, right? What we do is really, I would call it the first 80% of generative, which is identifying what's important in the data. The last 20% is reconstructing that data into sort of a summarized view or what we call abstractive summarization of that. And so the first 80% we've been working on forever, but with generative came all these opinions on the risk of AI in this space. So we've had to just be very clear that our AI doesn't make decisions. Our AI presents the clinician with the information they need to make that decision to avert where people go with AI, which is get to these sort of nightmare scenarios around it automating when the decision-making process of clinicians. So as long as we're very clear that we're just pointing you to the data you need to be aware of to make decisions, it really sort of addresses that issue. And then from an outcomes perspective, when we're talking with value-based care organizations and other physicians, now I'm getting to the outcomes problem. Many times clinicians are reluctant to identify social issues and sort of state them in the problem list because that organization has nothing they can do about it, right? There's not a robust referral network to community-based organizations that can address that issue, or the health network care coordinators don't have the bandwidth to address them. So this is changing as people become more aware, but a lot of times people say, I know this is a problem, but I don't have anything I can do about it, right? I don't have the resources in my network to be able to address these problems. So it becomes a boondoggle, right? We have to get over that. Not just us as a company, but the healthcare community needs to realize that you got to figure out a way to address social determinants with community services to maximize outcomes in your community. And this can be healthy communities. It can be at-risk communities. It doesn't really matter. This affects, I described the list before. These issues affect every single community in the United States.
How do we bridge that gap? Like, it's when the organization's not incentivized, they're like just directly, the incentive is keeping people healthy, right? So the incentive is there, but there's no reimbursement and everybody's burned out having to put stuff into the EMR. Yeah. Waiting room full of patients. Like, how do you incentivize that physician to get that care at the community level? And then the second question that I had for you, Marty, was really around visibility. So what you're telling me is you guys are giving this information to the point of care, the physician. What opportunities does the organization have at a population health level to take a look at this?
Yeah. Okay. So the first question is, what does the health community need to do to address this? First, I think this is built into value-based care, right? So I'm a strong supporter of us as a country moving more and more towards that model, because I think the incentives are absolutely there. And these organizations are getting better and better at addressing them. But I still think in regular fee-for-service models, there is incentives to improve health, right? There may not be financial incentives, but I think that there are the physicians who want to do the right thing, right? And that's a harder hill to climb. So again, I think the solution is moving to a value-based care model. And then remind me what the second question was.
Yeah, the second one is the information output available at the point of care versus at the population.
When you look at an organizational level, right, and I didn't really get into this, but our product not only looks at individual patients, but looks at trends across an organization or across a community. So first, resource allocation, right? If you can look across your population and see what the true social determinants are that are affecting individuals or particular communities or particular areas, you can know how to allocate resources at the health level or to even embed community services within the community. This gives you that instantaneous market research to understand at a specific sort of granular level where to put what to maximize health outcomes. And also from a quality perspective, right? You want to make sure that your care coordination teams and your physicians are doing something about it, right? There's identifying the issue, but then there's, well, what happens? So we have the ability to look at sort of, I call it like, if this, then that. Like, if this patient has this scenario, then what was done about it? To look at that from a social care perspective so that you can see how your staff is performing. Do you need to be training them differently? Do you need to be better networking with the community services that are already out there, right? Do you need to be creating new workflows to because there are bottlenecks, et cetera, et cetera? So that's the sort of thing where you start to implement this at scale by looking at the workflow of this within your organization.
Love it. Appreciate that. Yeah, just wanted to make sure we captured that value offer because it's a big one. Cool. Marnie, super interesting. Love the work that you guys are up to. For everybody listening, what call to action would you give them? What closing thought would you leave them with as they consider the things that you guys are up to?
Well, closing thought from a practice perspective, I'll say it again, right? Figure out how to address social determinants before they become chronic issues with your population, right? The data's there, right? It's all there, right? It's finding the right technologies and tools to make you aware of it so that you can do something about it. And with the growth of AI, with the ability of AI and NLP to be tailored to specific use cases, you now have the quality and accuracy to do it properly. And second, obviously, selfishly speaking, right, if you want to talk with us about this, you visit our website at augintel.us. We make it pretty easy. You can book a meeting with us on our website to talk through it. And we're happy to go deep, go shallow, go as wide as you want and teach you about how NLP in this space works, explore how it may help your organization and or just have a nice quick conversation. So any way works for us.
Love it, Marty. Really appreciate that. Folks, take advantage of Marty's offer to connect here. Certainly, he and his team run a really great business with a software that could really help you identify ways to operationalize care treatments for those social determinants of health. Take advantage of that. We'll leave everything in the show notes for you to get in touch with Marty. Check out Augintel and all the amazing work that they're up to. Marty, appreciate your time here today.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.